Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports, The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I am your host, Rick Wolf. Well, here's a pop quiz for you on this Sunday morning, and I'll expect your answers right away at 1-877-337-6666. That, of course, is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MoheganSun.com. Okay, I assume you heard about the incident, the international incident that took place over in China, where three basketball players from UCLA were arrested for shoplifting. Now, my question to you this morning is very simple. What is the appropriate punishment for those three freshman players who were caught in the act? Now, of course, since the incident took place, they've all said the right things at their press conference, that they will learn from this experience, that they apologize, that what they did was not who they really are, not the way they were brought up. They even thanked President Trump and the United States government for intervening. Okay, that press conference was all good and was to be expected. And now UCLA has handed them an indefinite suspension. My question to you is, should that suspension be just for a few games? Should they be allowed to return and play in the conference games later this season? Should they be suspended for the entire year? Should they be kicked out of school entirely? Have them do some sort of community service? Well, those are the possibilities. Perhaps you have some other suggestions. A few facts to consider. Fact number one, in China, stealing is considered to be a most serious crime. When Trump said that these kids, who apparently shoplifted merchandise not from one store but from three, that these kids were looking at 10 years in jail in China, now, that wasn't fake news. That was real news. Theft in that country is a big, big deal. Fact number two, what would a college do with a typical or just a regular student who was caught shoplifting? Well, chances are the college or university wouldn't get involved. Being arrested wouldn't interfere with their student status, but the kid would have to deal with the judicial system on their own. That is, no one from the university or a coach or the president of the United States would get involved. And bear in mind this, fact number three, the reason why UCLA was playing basketball games over in China was because a lot of kids from China attend college here in the United States. A lot of them go to school at UCLA and on the West Coast. And these kids from China, they pay their own tuition, the whole boat. So clearly UCLA was in China trying to drum up more business for kids, for bright kids that come to their school. Clearly, this did not work out well for UCLA and their image. Point is, when you're a representative of your university and you're traveling in a foreign country, it's no longer just about you. As a representative of your university and your team, you are fully expected to behave in a manner that is respectful and honorable. So, again, if you're UCLA or you're the head coach, Steve Alford, by the way, Steve Alford, you recall, was a star basketball player and protege of Coach Bobby Knight at Indiana, what's the right message you want to send here? Now, Alford has said that the three players, LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jalen Hill, they're going to have to earn their way back to playing time. But he wasn't more specific than that. And I have to tell you, the question is, do you subscribe to the theory that teenagers all make dumb mistakes, and as adults, we need to accept their miscues and to forgive them and to move on? Apparently, in China, that theory doesn't hold much sway. Zero tolerance is clearly the law of their land, even when it affects teenagers. Now, remember a few weeks ago we were discussing teenage accountability, learning to take responsibility for one's mistakes, learning how to think ahead of the consequences of one's actions before you commit them? Well, this case is Exhibit A. And the question is, what do you do? What's the right message? What do you do with these kids at this point if you're UCLA and your coach, Steve Alford? 1-877-337-6666. Let us start with our friend Ed over in Elizabeth. Ed, good morning. What do you do in this kind of case?
Get rid of them.
They're gone.
They're gone. Give them a minute. You made my program a bad reputation now, especially for a guy like Steve Alford, who's, you know, is ethical and all that.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter. You know, you're lucky Donald Trump was able to get you to come home in America, and you didn't have the decency to thank Donald Trump right away. I don't care that Donald Trump maybe tweeted right away to start looking for thanks. He's lucky the president was able to work something out. I'm sorry, you know, I'm an old school guy. You got to get rid of him, and you know what? And if, let him look for another college on that.
You know, Ed, let's go on that path for a second. You know, going over to play in China, and these kids are again they're freshman ball players, all highly recruited. Somebody somewhere, I assume, either Alford or somebody from the school sat down with the team and said, you know, we're going over there to represent the university, and we want to come across as good people because obviously we want to show the Chinese audience and basketball fans that we are legit athletes and we have a great school and so on and so forth. So you couldn't ask for a more embarrassing situation to have three of your top players and be arrested for shoplifting sunglasses. And as you said, you know, regardless of the politics, Trump and the government came in and did diplomatic, processes to get these kids back home, because if these were Chinese kids, they're in jail. I mean, it's as simple as that, and in jail for a long, long time. It's so to your point, you know, kids, we told you not to do this. Be careful. And they just basically said, oh, you know, my bad. And that's it. It's a harsh punishment. But if you're going to tell kids the right thing to do, you're going to have to add some backbone to these kind of situations.
Without a doubt. But you know what, Rick? We need to go back to the harsh punishments. And I'm sorry, because this country is going in different directions, and we need harsh punishments to get things straight now. And that includes even in the coaching. I mean, we're in situations right now. There's a great football coach in Verona, New Jersey, who, you know, I'm sure you've read the article about. He gets fired because he's too tough on the kids. By the superintendent, whose son's a backup quarterback. So the point I'm trying to say is, going back to the old way of being tough is fine, and I'm sorry, we're probably not going to be going back to China to play basketball again, you know, even if it's to show off our college programs.
Well, Ed, I hear you, and as I said, you know, something to be said about zero tolerance, which used to be the law of the land here in the United States when it came to student-athletes, but obviously things have changed. Thank you, as always, for the call, Ed.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you, too. Thank you. You know, this is interesting because this international incident is really sort of bringing back a lot of this discussion about old school and whether or not, you know, the time has come back to add a little more strength into these kinds of punishments to get the kids to think ahead of time. Let's move on. Let's go over to George in Jersey. Hi, George. You're on the fan.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I think not only are they gone from the program, I think we ought to take a page out of the Chinese playbook here, and they should sit in jail for 10 years. I mean, we're tired of babying these teenagers and saying, hey, it's okay, you make mistakes. Yeah, trust me, I don't think the crime rate in China is anything near the United States crime rate. If we know that our kids, if they even do petty crime, they'll do 10 years, guaranteed it's not happening here again.
Well, I hear you, and that's strictly, you know, old school and hardcore, George. Thank you for the call. I will tell you this, though. I would like to have known, as the UCLA basketball team prepared to go over to China, that somebody somewhere might have sat down with these kids and said, you understand, we are going to a different country, and honestly, they have different rules and regulations and laws, and they are particularly tight upon stealing and theft. If that conversation was held, and of course I have no idea if that conversation did take place with the basketball team, that might have gotten the kids to think twice about doing something stupid like this. But again, you know, if we can get our youngsters to start, as I said, think to be accountable, to think ahead of what their actions might cause in terms of the consequences, that would be something that is, I think, beneficial in terms of the grand scheme of things of them learning from sports and into life. As simple as that. Let's move on. Let's go to Steve and Brick. Hey, Steve, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. You kind of just hit my point.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, UCLA is sending this team over there. They're all kids, and they're going to a communist country,
mm-hmm.
China. You know, someone sits down with them and explains to them the customs, the legal system, the communist attitude, sometimes bad attitude towards America from some Chinese. And not to mention the fact, and this isn't being a racial thing, but you have three kids that are non-white, over 6 foot tall,
mm-hmm.
in China.
Mm-hmm.
They're not very hard to watch and pick out in a store. And you really think that you can put sunglasses and different high-priced items in your pocket, your book bag, your backpack, and no one's going to see you? I mean,
you touch upon the hardcore realities. Like, you know, what were you guys thinking? You know, everything in the world today is videotaped. Everything's on security, cameras. And you guys stick out because you're all tall, you are American, you are black. I mean, are you kidding me? What were you possibly thinking?
It's the most troubling thing, and then I'll let you go. It's kind of like the audacity. Like,
well, it's, you know, I would use the word entitlement as opposed to audacity,
exactly.
But they're very close. And yeah, I think that's a concern. Hey, Steve, thanks for the thoughts. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
You know, and entitlement, is that what this is all about? All right, let me. I'm going to take a pause, and we come back after Dave Uram's update. I go right back to your calls. The question is, what's the right punishment for these three UCLA basketball players? You know, once now they're back here in the States, you know, what do you do with them? Do you kick them out of school? Do you kick them off the team? Do you reinstate them? I want to hear from you. And back here on the Sports Edge, I'm Rick Wolf. This morning I'm discussing the right or appropriate punishment for the three UCLA basketball players who were caught shoplifting in China a couple of weeks ago, whether they should be suspended from the team for a few games and then fully reinstated, or kicked off the team for the year, even kicked out of school. The three kids are currently allowed to practice with the team, but they're not allowed to suit up for the games or travel to any away games. And one of the questions that I want to ask as well, these kids are good players. They're all freshmen, all highly recruited players. Is it fair to their UCLA teammates to have them keep sitting out? Again, Steve Alford, the coach, has said on the record that these kids will have to earn their way back into his good graces to play again, but he hasn't given any timetable on this. And I'm curious as to what your thoughts are. What is the right punishment here? 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to Montvale, New Jersey. Dave has been waiting. Dave, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks for great shows, controversial and relevant topics. My take on this comes from the perspective of having raised four kids to adulthood who participated in multiple sports over the years. I think the right way to go is kind of balanced, nothing too draconian, but nothing too lenient. And I think the right approach would be to bar the kids completely from the team and all activities this year, get the NCAA on board so they can't transfer to another school,
mm-hmm.
and put them on probation. And if they screw up in any way, you know, misbehavior on campus, repeat offense, shoplifting in the U.S., then they're barred for life. They lose their scholarships. I think probation is the way, and maybe some community service in the mix there to keep it in their consciousness. And I think what's got to be kept in mind is your point is a good one about punishing the teammates, but they did that. They're responsible for that. And the audience for this decision and UCLA's actions is very wide. I mean, it goes beyond the team, the school, the community, the U.S., and China's probably taking a look at how we handle this. So I think a pretty severe but not too draconian with probation in the mix is the way to go.
So, Dave, just to be clear about this, you would recommend that they don't play at all this year?
Correct.
Okay, so they sit out the year. Now, again, and I don't think I've even said this, but it's assumed that these kids are on full scholarships. So basically, they're going through school for free, but they're not going to play this year as punishment. Now, and look, these kids are all about basketball. These kids obviously love to play the game, and it's going to be, I'm sure, killing them to practice with their teammates and then not be able to play in the games. So maybe that's punishment unto itself, you know?
Well, it's a good lesson for them to learn. I mean, any time we were too lenient with our kids, we regretted it when we were somewhat harsh, even though it hurt us. You know, they turned out to have learned a lesson, and these kids have to learn a lesson.
Dave, I'll be very, very curious to see what the final ultimate outcome is with these kids, whether UCLA and the coach out there, Alford, lets them come back and play. I mean, I just don't know what's going to happen. But as you said, and I agree with this, and Dave, thank you for the call this morning. A lot of people are watching all this to see not only what UCLA handles this situation, but obviously it has greater repercussions, you know, for the school and even for the country and perhaps U.S.-China's relations. I mean, this is a big deal. Let's go to Jeff out in Long Island. Jeff, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm well, Jeff. What's the right punishment here?
I think the last caller hit it on the head.
You want to sit him for a year?
Yeah, at least. I think that's minimum what should happen. You know, when a team goes over to another country, I can guarantee you that the coach sat down with the team and told them the customs and consequences.
Well, We hope they did. They may not have, you know?
I can't imagine that they would not have, because this is it's such a severe country. If you do any small criminal act, I can't imagine how that would not have been talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they didn't, it wasn't like they stole a $3 pair of glasses, and they didn't do it once. They did it three times. They were stealing $300 and $400 sunglasses or whatever they were doing. So their intention was to steal. And they had to know that this was a severe country. To do anything like that would be severe consequences. They are incredibly lucky that they're not spending 10 years in jail. So punishment of being off the team for 1 year is minor compared to spending 10 years in jail. It's a complete embarrassment to UCLA.
There's no question. This is a total lose-lose for UCLA. And as I said, this goes beyond the coach. This is now being dictated, I'm sure, by, well, you've heard, I mean, the president of the university, you know, was commenting about all this and was trying to say the right things to try to put a good spin on this. But this goes much beyond the basketball program. This involves the entire school. That's why UCLA was over in the first place in China, to try to drum up goodwill to have more Chinese students attend UCLA. So this is a big deal. The question's going to be, Jeff, is what do these kids do next? If they are told that you're not, you know, you can continue to work out with the team and you will keep your scholarship, but you're not going to play this year, then the question becomes, you know, well, do the kids just transfer out of the school? Do they drop out? Do they decide to do something else? I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this was resolved. And I know the kids were they seemed to be apologetic at the press conference, but, you know, we'll see if how sincere those apologies really were as time goes on, particularly if they're not allowed to come back and play. Jeff, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let me move on to our friend Mike over in East Rockaway. Mike, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. Like I've been doing, you know, Rick, for the last 15 years on a Sunday morning, reading the paper and listening to your show. This is a very, very interesting can of worms, so to speak. Three elite players, elite school, UCLA.
Yep.
And they shoplift shades. They want to look cool in shades, whatever. I think, you know, they must have taken a stupid pill, maybe, you know, or whatever color that pill may be. But to really, you know, shed light on the response of the coach, Steve Albert. No response from the president or AD. And they're lucky, like you mentioned, Rick, Donald Trump intervened. This is like an international incident
yep.
that occurred. And when I spoke to my man Matt, I was waiting on deck, you know, I thought 1 year suspension would be fine. But now that I think about it, yeah, it's got to be more severe. One caller brought up a good point, probation, maybe community service.
Yep.
But here's a twist to this, Rick. Steve Albert, the coach, I wonder what his old coach, Bobby Knight, would have done.
Yes.
You know, speaking of old school, like you said, and it's different climate. You know, a coach certainly can't get away with certain things. But now the behavior of three elite students, that's really a disgrace to the school, to the teammates, you know, the good teammates who don't feel the need to shoplift. And it's really, it's a delicate question, you know?
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, yeah, there's so many different angles to this. And you mentioned, Mike, about Bobby Knight. I think it's fair to say that if three kids, when Bobby Knight was coaching at Indiana, let's say,
right.
and went on a trip overseas and took his basketball team with him, and three of his players were caught shoplifting, you think Bobby Knight, you know, he would just said, "Well, goodbye, you're gone.
Goodbye.
We don't need criminals on our team. Goodbye, you're gone." I mean, there's no
right.
to him. It would have been like, you know, talk about zero tolerance. No, we don't have any. There's no discussion about this. There's no sense of, "Oh, I hope you've learned your lesson, and maybe we can do some community service." He'd say, "Goodbye, you're gone." So now we're in the year 2017. Steve mm-hmm. Alford was a big star for Bobby, and obviously was a big star in Indiana. He's the head coach. He's got to be thinking, well, how would Coach Knight handle a situation like this? And it's tricky. And for every parent and every coach out there today is thinking, how do you do this? Do you just give them a slap on the wrist? Oh, you made a mistake. And look, teenagers make
right.
mistakes. You know, this is tricky. And it's I don't know exactly what the right answer is here, but I will tell you this, Mike. I'd be surprised if these kids are kept out of the program for the entire year. I think they'll be back playing basketball, particularly when the Pac-12 conference games start up. I think that's
I do too, Rick, because it's an elite program. And, like, you know, Bobby Knight, I'll let you go. You got other people on deck.
Yes.
But Bobby Knight probably would have said, "Don't let the door
yeah.
hit you know what on the way out, all three of you. Goodbye."
Thanks.
Hey, Rick.
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sure you had another thought. But, yeah, I agree with that. And the question is, was that the right approach? Is that too old school? Let's move on. Let's go to Jeremy in Binghamton, upstate New York. Jeremy, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. How are we doing?
Good. What do you think we do with these kids?
Well, I'm going to pull an Allen Iverson here and say, are we really talking about shoplifting here? Because I'm sorry, but a year suspension for shoplifting is crazy. I get that it's an international incident, but we let people, look at Ezekiel Elliott, look at some of these people who have been caught raping and beating people, and we don't have these conversations about how disgraceful they are.
Well,
and here we are making
a couple of differences. First of all, you know, once we're talking about college here, right? These kids
well,
are
Well, I'm also talking about college. Think about Baylor and all that. There
well,
was
okay.
so much stuff that went on.
I hear you, and those are all valid observations about the other colleges who have problems with, sexual abuse and harassment and whatever. Difference here, of course, is this took place in a foreign country.
International.
And,
yeah,
and,
I agree. I understand. And I've been abroad with my team in college before.
Yeah, yeah.
And my biggest thing here is also that when you're 18, you really have no metacognition, which means you're not going to be able to think about your actions before they actually happen.
Wait a minute.
It's a true story.
Yeah, but Jeremy, when you were 18, did you know right from wrong? Do you know that you shouldn't take merchandise out of a store and walk out with it? Did you know how to do that?
The consequences aren't always as understandable as some people might logically think they are to an 18-year-old. Even if you think you might know it's wrong, you might not really understand the gravity of how wrong it is in another country.
Well,
I hear you, but
when you said you took your team to a different country, did you
yep.
sit down and talk to your team and talk to them about you going to a foreign country? They have different laws, different culture. Did you ever explain that to them?
Well, I was the one being taken.
Oh, okay. Well, did your coach tell you? Like, you know,
we were not talked to. So we were never specifically told any different rules per se, other than don't do anything stupid.
Well, okay, but I think we can classify shoplifting as being stupid, right?
I agree. I just think that...
Jeremy, I know what you're saying, that, again, there's a whole raft of scientific literature. It says that teenagers, you know, their brains are still developing. They do things without really giving it much cognitive thought and whatever. But in this particular case, not just one kid, there are three of them. They know they're not in Westwood in L.A. They're in China. They don't speak the language, I assume. They must realize they stick out like a sore thumb because they're tall and they're black. Somebody, somewhere, the threat to say, you know, we probably shouldn't be doing this. That's a prank. It's no big deal. What's going to happen? They'll tell us to put the sunglasses back, not realizing that we're going to make this into an international incident.
I don't think that probably ever crossed their mind.
That's very possible. But it's one thing if you do that when you're 8 or 10. It's different when you're, you know, you're 18 or 19. And I hear what you're saying, Jeremy, but... I think it's something where, again, I go back, and I thank you for your thought this morning. My sense is it goes back to teaching kids accountability, to somehow to get them to think twice before they do something that may blow up on their face in ways they can't even imagine. All right, let me take a timeout. When I return, I'll go right back to your calls. And speaking of football, it all starts this morning at 9 o'clock with Football Sunday. Mark Malusis and Dave Deal have all their insights, thoughts, and comments about the big slate today with the NFL. Make sure you stick around for that program. AskCoachWolf.com is undergoing an upgrade, and it should be relaunched very, very soon. I ask you to please check it out, AskCoachWolf.com, where you can read more about the topics we discuss here every Sunday. And, of course, you can post your own thoughts and comments, especially if I can't get to your call on the show. Okay, we're talking about what do you do with these three UCLA basketball players in terms of their punishment. Right now they're sitting out, they practice with a team, but they don't dress for games, they don't travel to away games. Question is, are you going to reinstate them at some point? Are you going to kick them out for the entire year? What do you do? 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to Stamford, Connecticut. Bill, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Rick. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you, Bill? What do you do with these three kids?
Well, you see, I just graduated college. I was a college swimmer, Division I, all 4 years.
Okay.
And every year we went to a string of meets in Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh.
And Puerto Rico is part of the United States.
But, of course.
You know, we were made clear that, you know, this is a trip representing the school, and this is a trip that we're all going to be responsible. You know, we're not on vacation.
Right.
We're there to work. We're there to swim. We're not there to have fun. So, you know, these kids decided to go to the bar on one of the nights before the meet. And, you know, alcohol is legal if you're underage in Puerto Rico, and they still got caught and they still got suspended. So I really think that you really need to teach these kids a lesson. You really need to suspend them. You know, that's the only way they're going to learn.
But
that's
Bill,
the only way that they're going to act responsible.
How long were your teammates suspended for? How many meets?
They were immediately suspended for the next meet, the next string of meets. We had the meet the next day they were suspended for, and they were suspended for our big meet against Villanova that we lost.
Uh-huh.
And they were one of our two best swimmers.
Ooh, okay.
So it was a real big blow to the team. And, you know, we all felt the same. We all felt that was the right suspension because, you know, you got to act in representation of the school. You got to represent really well. And, you know, I think a fair suspension would be a year because, you know, you did something illegal in another country. You disrespected UCLA and you disrespected the program.
Bill,
so that's my opinion on
Bill,
the situation.
Can I ask you how old you are?
I am 23.
All right. So the reason I ask that is because we've heard from a lot of people this morning who also agree with your position that, you know, you're going to be suspended. You're going to sit out the entire year. But you know, my fear was that was coming from old school people. You're 23 and just lived through this yourself as a college athlete. And you've seen that, you know, it's a tough kind of punishment. But these guys, your teammates were told, don't fool around. We may be going to Puerto Rico, but we're there not to have a party. We're there to compete. And, they had to pay the price. And as you said, Bill, It hurt your team because they were not allowed to participate in some key meets. So it's difficult. But as you said, sometimes you got to sort of bite the bullet. Bill, thank you for the call this morning.
Well,
you know, and I think this is what I'm hearing that you know sometimes yeah, you got to sort of say, look, this is the way it has to go. Simple as that. Let's go to Bill, another Bill over this one in Jersey. Bill, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good. How are you? What do you do with these three kids?
Out. Gone.
Well, now be more specific. Out of school? Out for the year? What are you doing?
Gone. Gone. They're not part of the university anymore.
Okay.
Gone. They're finished.
So you kick them out of school.
They're lucky. Because years ago, there was an incident like this where a young kid fooled around over there in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point they were going to cane the kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, he said, oh, I'm an American. You can't do that. Wrong. The judge said, you live here. You follow our rules. If you don't, you get punished. And it took, I can't remember, I think it was Clinton had to step in. And they brought the kid back to the United States. But it was a real incident. The kid was like spray paint or something. You know, something over here kids do, you got to take it. Over there, you get caned.
Yeah, I do vaguely recall that case. And you're right. I can't recall the kid was a student athlete, but it was a kid who obviously did something stupid who figured that, okay, I'll do something dumb, but if I was in the United States, I get a slap on the wrist or community service. This is a little different. And, you know, nobody's denying the fact that the law in China applies in this case. And these kids were looking at several years in jail, doing hard time.
So it's
hard to get the answer here, but I hear you, Bill.
But it's also their parents too. You're telling an 18, 19-year-old kid their parents didn't tell them right from wrong. You don't steal.
We have to assume that somebody at some point, and again, an 18-year-old. If they're bright enough to go and be accepted into a fine university like UCLA, and they know they're going to play basketball there and get a full scholarship to play at the school, they must know right from wrong. They knew what they were doing was wrong, and they just obviously didn't think through the consequences or figured they'd, you know, just say, it's no big deal. We'll put the we get caught, we'll give the merchandise back and move on with our day. It doesn't work that way. And I hear what you're saying. And, Bill, thank you for the call this morning. Maybe the point is all this is that that this might serve, if there's a silver lining in this, that it will teach a lesson or teach a teachable moment to a lot of student-athletes. Like, look what these three kids did, and it may end up they don't play the entire year. They may end up not getting into the games this year. And, again, they're lucky to have their scholarship still. A lot of people are saying, no, get rid of them. Just, you know, as Bill has said, kick them out of school. They violated, a trust that the school had in these kids representing UCLA. Let's move on. Let's go to Gary, also up in Stamford, Connecticut. Gary, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hey, good morning, Rick. You just took a little of my thunder. I was going to say, this could be a life lesson for these kids. And what I would do, what I want to know, first of all, do they have a code of conduct at UCLA? That's the first thing I'd like to know. And are they going to follow that code of conduct, being these guys are these, really good basketball players. But what I would do, I would suspend him for a year, and I would have him do charity work inside the Chinese community in L.A.
Yeah.
And then what I would do, I'd take away their scholarship, and then after a year, I let them back. And I think they got to be held accountable, but I would, give them another shot. And I think there would be a good life lesson for them, and hopefully they can turn their lives around. Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. I will say this. First of all, codes of conduct, they're primarily utilized in high schools in this country. I don't know, and there might be universities that have codes of conduct as well, or students' code of conduct, which not just for the athletes, but for all the students in the school. But the fact is, again, we all sort of assume this, that somebody from UCLA, either the coach Alford or the athletic director or the assistant coaches, somebody who was traveling with the team must have sat down with the kids before they got at the airport and said, look, we're going to a different country. They have different rules, different culture, different laws. Make sure you keep your nose clean. Don't do something stupid. And I have to assume that conversation took place. One thing I do know, anytime any other college team goes overseas from this point on, that conversation will take place. But the fact is, I don't think in my heart of hearts that they're going to kick these kids out of school. I don't think they're going to suspend them from playing for the entire season. I think you're going to see them play again as the conference games come up on the schedule. They're not going to lose their scholarships. And I hear all you're saying. you know, suspend them for the year, have them doing community service, particularly, you know, with the Chinese community in Los Angeles. All wonderful ideas. I just don't know if that's going to happen. And that's the reality of this. Let's go to Tom in Levittown. Tom, what do you think?
Rick, maybe you could help me with this, but I heard on the radio the day that I think UCLA had this problem over the summer with some football players.
Oh, yeah?
Three football players got in trouble for shoplifting, and I believe they were kicked off the team.
Really? Okay.
I don't think they would do that for these basketball guys because basketball players are you know, stars. But I think there's a precedent that UCLA set over the summer with their football team, and it's going to be a problem if they don't follow that precedent that they already set.
Well, Tom, I wasn't aware of that. That's true. And they did have football players who were caught shoplifting, and they were immediately dismissed from the team. That would have happened by now with these basketball players, don't you think?
I think so, but I said, I think if they don't follow that precedent, I think Alfred and the athletic director is going to have some questions to answer.
Oh, man, that opens up another can of worms, as you said. There's already a precedent there. I don't know what obviously the particulars are in that situation with the football players, but as you said, why would you give, you know, that sets a double standard in motion, particularly with these kids who are obviously overseas representing the school. I don't know what the football players were doing in the summertime, but obviously they weren't, I presume they weren't in China, and I presume they weren't, working out with the team at that point. They were just, you know, being dumb teenagers. I don't know what to tell you. It's a real, real concern, but thank you for that insight, Tom. Appreciate it. You know, I this is, again, it sounds simple, and maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, it's in a different time, different place. You break the rules, you're off the team. Goodbye. You know, you lose your scholarship. You should have put two and two together before you shoplifted. But now we're in 2017, and things, well, you give kids a second chance. Maybe they've learned their lesson. This is a teachable moment. So we're going to suspend you for a few games, but we'll bring you back into good graces later on. I mean, it's just a different way of looking at this. My question is that the right way to run a sports program, particularly at a school like UCLA? All right, let me take a pause. I'll be back. Radio.com. Radio.com. Well, what a nightmare for UCLA and Coach Steve Alford. I mean, this is... you know, having three of your better players, freshmen, be caught shoplifting in China, and what is the appropriate punishment? I don't think anybody has a crystal clear answer on this. We've heard a lot of people today say that they've now forfeited their eligibility to play this year. They should be suspended for the entire season. Others have said kick them out of school. Others have suggested they do community service. I don't have an answer for this, but I do know this. If you're coaching kids today, whether it's in high school or in college, you got to sit down, whether you're the parent or the coach, and be proactive. Explain to them you're going to be aware of your surroundings, particularly when you're representing the school, representing your teammates, and representing yourself, which means you got to think ahead of all the possible consequences of any impulse you may have. I will tell you this, I won't be surprised if these kids are playing again in a few weeks at UCLA. When that happens, think about this show, what we talked about today, and think about the long-term impact that's going to have. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Matt Casey. Please stick around for Football Sunday. That's up next. I'll see you next week right here on the Sports Edge.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.